This is Girls in Bars, a Fullmetal Alchemist All Media Types, Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, and manga fanfic. Written by Helion Thie and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Rebecca Catalina, Risa Hawkeye, with additional tags for drinking and talking, bisexuality, coming out, background relationships. Author's notes. Still on about FMA and only sort of sorry about it. Title from Joking by the Indigo Girls. Rebecca likes projects. Risa knows that about her. In fact, Risa has spent the last several years watching the other woman run a sort of catch-and-release rehabilitation program for military men. They see her, think she's pretty, and before they know what's happening, Rebecca has scooped them up for a whirlwind romance combined with a class on basic self-care and housekeeping, and then she releases them back into their natural habitat, knowing what a pumice stone is for, and the many and varied benefits of regularly washing their pillowcases. They look around. They blink. They are, very briefly, completely heartbroken. Then they go on to become excellent boyfriends or husbands for some other woman. That's how much Rebecca likes projects. It's maybe not a super healthy relationship dynamic to keep going back to, but then again, Risa had witnessed Havoc, a recent project of Rebecca's, actually wash his water bottle in the break room the other day. With soap. Prior to that, she'd been debating the likelihood of the next flu epidemic springing fully formed from the gunk around the mouth of the bottle and wiping out East City Command. And he'd cleaned his ashtray, which hadn't happened for as long as she could remember, and had caused Breda to ask whether he was feeling all right. If those are the results Rebecca gets, who has reason to complain? Strictly speaking, she's no one. Although, strictly confidentially speaking, she's the disaster that's been in love with her best friend for the past several years. That trope is getting kind of tired, Risa thinks. On the bar stool next to her, Rebecca gestures with the skewer thing that had been the backbone of the maraschino cherry kebab that had been in her cocktail. Risa wishes distantly for safety glasses. You know what you need? Rebecca asks. A pay raise? A nap? A massage? The options are limitless. A man, says Rebecca. No, Risa says reflexively. Then, I've got one already. Your weird little murder pact with Mustang doesn't count. It does. It should, Risa protests. Rebecca doesn't like Roy. She likes to be seen as a benevolent force of good by the men in her life, sweeping in, introducing them to exfoliation and coffee creamers with fun flavors, and then sweeping right back out again. Roy and Rebecca have the same favorite toner, though, the rose-scented one with witch hazel, and he already knows what a caramel macchiato is. He has roughly 1 million sisters imparting feminine wisdom on him, solicited or not. He doesn't need Rebecca. And Rebecca doesn't like that. Rebecca rolls her eyes. He's your boss. And also, he asked you to shoot him if he, like, gives into the megalomania or whatever and decides to be a dictator. Truly. A romance for the ages. He's nice to me, Risa had been about to say. Was the bar really that low? This is what she gets for talking to Rebecca about her feelings after she's had a couple of beers. Note to self, stop fucking doing this. Rebecca is eyeing her with more concern than usual. It's definitely too late to say something crude and laugh it off. You know, she says, you deserve a partner that makes you happy on top of treating you like a person. Like, the person bit is the bare minimum for anyone in your life, but your partner should make you happy, too. Promising to shoot them and conceivably having to follow through on it kind of precludes that. If Rebecca brings up her father, Flame Alchemist 1.0, this time negligent at best, Risa is going to start a bar fight to avoid the conversation. She's going to upend her drink on someone's head. Hit on someone's girlfriend. Hit someone with a bar stool, even. Instead, Rebecca just sighs. I'm glad you have him, even though I think he could be better. We're not like that, Risa says. Partners or whatever. It's not just occasional sex, although that does happen sometimes. There's too much loyalty and trust and, honestly, too many skeletons in their slightly treasonous shared little closet for that. They're not dating, though. It's not romance. They are, at best, friends with benefits, with a problematic power dynamic, and the looming threat of death by one another or firing squad. Uh-huh, Rebecca says, with all the skepticism afforded to her by a front row seat to the slow-motion train wreck that has been Risa and Roy, from the Academy to the front lines of Ishval to East City. Risa absolutely cannot tell her friend that she and Roy aren't going to properly happen because they're both in love with somebody else. Especially since Rebecca is one of the somebodies, and the very married Mace Hughes is the other somebody. What do I need a man for? She asks instead. You buy me drinks, and Hayate keeps my feet warm at night. An eye roll from Rebecca. Men do more than that, she says. Risa raises an eyebrow. Rebecca hasn't had a relationship last longer than 2 months, the entire time they've known each other. Risa isn't really sure what else anyone could accomplish in that amount of time. They do! It's about emotional fulfillment. Hence the projects, Risa thinks, but doesn't say. To be contrary, she says, I have work for that. Oh, for sure, Rebecca nods, sarcasm evident in every line of her body. And the skewer thing, too. Doing paperwork, hunting rogue alchemists and the normal run-of-the-mill criminals, haranguing havoc for smoking in the office. That's 3 separate full-time jobs right there, Risa agrees. Risa Hawkeye, you're impossible, Rebecca says, although not without fondness. I suppose you're right, though. I've just been bored with my love life lately, so I thought to myself, why not meddle in Risa's? What's his name not doing it for you? Which what's his name? Rebecca replies. I'm just tired. And maybe bad at dating. How do you figure? Risa wants to know. If Rebecca is bad at dating, then there's no hope for anyone else. She shrugs. I find a man. I decide he's the best thing ever. Only wouldn't it be nice if he didn't live like a wild animal? And then he leaves because he's like capable of remembering to put the toilet seat down, which means nicer, prettier women than me will look twice at him. You should maybe stop dating soldiers, Risa says, rather than unpacking all of that. It's not as if I meet other men. Well, defense contractors, I guess, but ugh. Ugh, Risa agrees. Rebecca sighs. Life would be so much easier if I were dating a woman. You're killing me, Risa carefully doesn't say. Yeah? Yeah, says Rebecca. If we're both unmarried at 40, do you want to adopt a bunch of cats and be spinsters together? This is... Everything about this is unacceptable. Risa wants to thunk her forehead against the bar. She wants another drink. She wants to peel out of her jacket and maybe also her skin and flee into the night, potentially shrieking at the top of her lungs. Risa? Rebecca asks. It doesn't have to be cats. I know you're more of a dog person. Picture, like, 8 little hayates and a vegetable garden or something. Rebecca, I'm bisexual. Risa's mouth says with very little input from her brain. Rebecca blinks at her. Risa braces herself for the inevitable, oh, that's nice. I'm not like that. You don't like me, do you? That would be weird, right? That typically follows this sort of thing. Further followed by being introduced to every queer woman Rebecca knows and never sharing a changing room when they're clothes shopping at a busy store ever again. Instead, Rebecca says, you've got to be kidding me. I'm bi. You are? Rebecca puts her head in her hands, which is unfair, because Risa had been about to do that. I thought you knew, she says. Didn't you wonder why Stacy Lawson hung out in our dorm so often? I thought you were just friends, Risa protests. She slept over! She wore my t-shirts! She never wore pants! Stacy Lawson, now a second lieutenant out in West, had super nice legs and, Risa had assumed, a roommate she didn't like combined with a poor memory when it came to packing pajamas. I'm an idiot, Risa decides, and puts her head in her hands after all. I mean this in the nicest possible way, the bartender interrupts, but this is both the funniest and saddest thing I've seen all week. Do the two of you want another round? On me.
Please,
they say in unison. You're not an idiot, Rebecca tells her while they wait for their drinks. I didn't know you were bi either.
How did I not know? We've known each other since we were 17.
It's not like I ever brought anyone home, Risa says. But with my back being fucked up and also my... What did you call it? Weird little murder pact with the Lieutenant Colonel? It's all kind of hard to explain. It's easier not to bother, you know? I do know. And I reiterate, it's because I've known you since we were teenagers that had made approximately 90% fewer bad choices than we have now. Here are your drinks, says the bartender, sliding them over. Thanks, says Rebecca, and knocks hers back in several big gulps. All right, so you can absolutely forget I said anything and we can pretend it never happened. But do you want to, like, try dating? It'll be what we do now, only with kissing and stuff, if you want. I do want, Risa says. She struggles for a moment, finally coming up with something a bit more coherent. I mean, yes. Let's try dating. Then she pinches herself, because this is not the sort of thing that happens outside of her subconsciousness.
Great! Thank God. Like, our friendship would have been fine if not, but I think the vibe might have been weird for a while.
Do you need to, like, talk to Mustang?
I probably should, Reza says, if only because he's going to think this is funny. The end!